Final hour, Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're continuing our look around the AFC. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Chad Graff from The Athletic, who covers the New England Patriots. Chad, good morning. Thanks for taking time to join us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being with us. So, Chad, how do you view this Patriots offense heading into this season with Mac Jones in year two? What are your expectations for him heading into his sophomore season, so to speak, here in the NFL?
Well, this is the season that everybody wants to see the jump. You know, you look around the league and those quarterbacks who reach that elite level, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they all take a big jump in year two. And so that, I think, was the expectation. At the end of last season, when the Patriots make the playoffs, Mac Jones looks pretty good. And then kind of everything that's transpired since has lowered expectations a bit and lowered optimism a bit. The offense through all of training camp and through the preseason is kind of a mess. It's being run by Joe Judge, the former special teams coach who went on to coach the Giants, and Matt Patricia, their former defensive coordinator, not offensive, who had a failed sit with the Detroit Lions. And so now this is the brain trust that is implementing this new scheme, taking over for one of the most successful coordinators of the last couple of decades in Josh McDaniels. And so it hasn't gone well, and I think it's fair to note that. At the same time, it's always hard to doubt just what Bill Belichick is doing, and maybe this will work out because he knows more about football than the rest of us. But, boy, at this point, it's hard to see what Bill Belichick is doing.
Yeah, Chad, that was my question. You know, it's just like Matt Patricia, I don't get it. And like you said, it's Belichick. So, I mean, the guy, it's hard to question him. But Matt Patricia, defensive guy, and, of course, things went very poorly for, admittedly, a totally dysfunctional franchise in Detroit with him. But did you see any signs of that getting better through the preseason with this setup on the offensive side of the ball?
They would tell you it's gotten better. I don't know that I've seen it really improve that much. It looks like an offense that's going to have a lot of three and outs and shoot themselves in the foot and put a lot of pressure on their defense. I still, you know, hold out some level of thinking that Bill Belichick will just get things figured out because that's what he does, and he's basically been the de facto defensive coordinator since Patricia left, and he's still going to have those massive responsibilities, calling plays, scheming things up. He spends a lot of time over on that side of the ball, and yet he spent more time with the offense than he has in the last two decades. He's right behind the offense on every huddle. He's next to Matt Patricia looking at the play sheet. There's thought and potentially word that he might even call some offensive plays while still calling defensive plays. This feels a little bit like Bill Belichick wanting to flex his muscle and show, I'm still smarter than you watch. I'll do offense and defense. I'll run the thing. I'll be the GM. I'll do it all and still find a way to win without Tom Brady. I'm skeptical that's going to work, but that's kind of the feeling so far.
Chad Graff from The Athletic on with us here on 102.5 The Game. So, Chad, how do you view DeVante Parker heading into this season? What do you think the Patriots may have with their new wide receiver?
Well, and so here's another kind of confusing case where at first you look at it and say, yes, that's exactly what Mac Jones needs. He needs more weapons. The wide receiver group is not very good. He needs a little more depth. So they go out and trade for DeVante Parker, who will have a revenge game against the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. They draft a wide receiver in the second round. All of that kind of makes sense until you look at the kind of receiver that DeVante Parker is. He's ranked dead last the last 2 years in separation from the cornerbacks on the routes that he's running. So this is not a guy that is out there making life easy for Mac Jones, helping him with yards after the catch, getting open, being a big target. He's, you know, he does have his strengths. He's got good hands. He's good at contested catches, but you kind of have to throw it into coverage, trusting that he's going to make a play. And he makes a lot of those plays, but man, for Mac Jones entering year two, that's not the kind of receiver that I think you would want with him. I would think you want somebody who gets open with ease and can be somebody who, you know, finds some space in the defense and becomes a reliable threat for Mac Jones that way. Instead, they've got somebody who's really good at contested catches and has really good hands, but boy, it's hard to see this group of wide receivers creating much separation.
So, Chad, I was a proponent of the Titans paying Jonnu Smith when he became a free agent. I liked the Patriots signing of him, and of course they really invested last year with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. I've seen your bold predictions. You expect a good year from Hunter Henry, but I'm just wondering, where is Jonnu Smith right now on this roster in this offense?
Better, but that is with the caveat that it was a really underwhelming first year with the Patriots. There was all the hope that after they spent all that money in the COVID offseason, led the league in free agency spending, Brent brought in, as you mentioned, Henry and Smith, that they're going to do all these two tight end formations and find a way to really rely on both as run blockers and in the passing game. And that worked with Hunter Henry at 9 touchdowns a year ago, became kind of the red zone threat that they were hoping he would be. That did not happen with Smith, though. The run blocking was a mess. It took him a while to get caught up. He was kind of behind from the start after missing some of the offseason. So he's coming off of a really disappointing season. They had to move some of his money around in this offseason. And now I think he's entering a big year. I think Bill Belichick has admitted he looks better this season than he did a year ago. But this is an important season for him. And if it doesn't go well, he'll probably be back on the free agent market.
Chad, the opening four games for the Patriots are pretty intriguing to me. Dolphins, Steelers, Ravens, and Packers. I think we'll find out a lot about them in the opening 4 weeks. Starting with this weekend against the Dolphins, what do you think of that matchup, and what do you think of the way that this division lays out this year in the AFC East? Obviously, the Bills are the overwhelming favorite, but the Patriots and the Dolphins can be pretty interesting to me in the overall AFC race.
Yeah, and that first four games for them is super interesting to me because I think you could see the Patriots as underdogs in all four of those games, which, you know, I can't imagine they've been underdogs in four consecutive games since Bill Belichick arrived. But they're 3.5-point underdogs against the Miami Dolphins here in South Florida. The Patriots actually came down here 5 days early to adjust to the heat and the humidity and get used to all of that. So they're already down here. But I do have some kind of big-time questions for how well the Patriots match up against the Dolphins. I don't have a ton of confidence right now in the Patriots' offensive line. They've got a lot of pieces, a lot of players that you would recognize, a lot of guys who really even had successful seasons a year ago. But it has not looked good so far. Their blitz protection has been bad. The Dolphins blitz at the second highest rate in the NFL. And so that, I think, is an area that you could see them really get after the Patriots offense. Mac Jones against the Dolphins a year ago threw for 2 yards less per attempt when he was blitzed. He struggled there, so either Mac Jones is going to have to get a lot better against the blitz on Sunday, or the offensive line is going to have to get better. I struggle to see how both of those happen, and so I think that is probably the most intriguing aspect of Sunday's game that will tell a lot about how it finishes. And as for the division, I do think you're right. I think the Bills are clearly number one. The Jets are clearly number four. And, you know, here you go, Mike McDaniel, new Dolphins coach. Like, this is your chance to get to the wild card. I think that they can get there. I think that Tyreek Hill fits that offense well and is one of those yards after catch guys, and someone who does create separation. And the question for them is how good is Tua? Is he good enough to be in that 49ers offense that doesn't ask a ton of the quarterback? Like, Jimmy G took them to the Super Bowl. You don't have to be Tom Brady to succeed in that offense, but can Tua get to that level where he's taken them into the playoffs this season?
And by the way, Chad, with the Patriots, this is a very good defense. I mean, to me, that's, if I look at the Patriots as a playoff hopeful, I think it rests on that side of the ball. How good do you think this defense could be?
I think they're going to be really good. This is a group that got burned a bit, of course, in the playoffs last year, to put it mildly. But they've revamped things. They've gotten younger. They've gotten faster. The only real kind of question mark, I think, that at least I have is, how good are the cornerbacks? Jalen Mills is the number one group. They've lost J.C. Jackson, who obviously is a true shutdown corner. And so I'll be curious to see how that secondary fares and how they play against Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill in this Dolphins passing attack, because I think with Matthew Judon, they're going to get after the quarterback. Their safeties are up there with maybe the best safety groups in the NFL. But we know in today's league how important cornerbacks are, and that is kind of the big question for the Patriots. If they're not very good, I still think it can be a top-10 offense just because of, or a top-10 defense just because of how good the pieces are elsewhere. But for them to really be that kind of elite Bill Belichick defense that you think about, the cornerbacks are going to have to take a big step.
Well, Chad, you've been very gracious with your time. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chad Graff from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it is time for our official predictions in the AFC South. We're looking forward to that. We'll get to the AFC South, our playoff teams in the AFC and NFC, and eventually our Super Bowl champs and participants as well. All that coming up. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show this Sunday live from Sonny's Patio and Pub Refuge, located at 6th Avenue North in Nashville. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the New York Giants. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and Ounce of Hope. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning. Joe, it is officially that time. It is time for our official 2022 NFL predictions. Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic, and myself will get things rolling. We'll start with the AFC South. We've talked a lot all offseason about the Titans and the Colts. Unless one of you two are about to surprise me and pick the Jags to win the division, I think we can all agree that it is a two-team race. I will go ahead and start on this. I have talked a lot about the Colts and Matt Ryan this offseason, and they are very intriguing to me. When I started to think about the most intriguing players in the league this year, he was on the short list of ones that came to mind for me. I went game by game through the Titans schedule last night and through the Colts schedule last night, which, as we know, at the end of the day, really means nothing, because the Titans will probably lose to somebody along the way that they have no business losing to, and they'll probably win somewhere along the way against the game that they shouldn't win. Same thing goes for the Colts. My official prediction is this. The Titans will win the AFC South. They will finish with a 10-7 record this season. The Colts, one game off, will finish at 9-8. So a close race throughout, Joe Rexrode, but at the end of the day, I think the Titans, if Derrick Henry can stay healthy, I think he'll give them enough offensively. I still like the Titans defense without Harold Landry. And I've said it many times, and I'm sticking by it. I think you'll see a better version of Ryan Tannehill this year than we saw a year ago. So with all that being said, with Vrabel leading the way as well, I'm going the Titans at 10-7, the Colts at 9-8, and I've got the Tennessee Titans winning the AFC South for the third consecutive season.
Okay, fair enough. I'm gonna go two games better than you are on the Colts. I guess real quick, I do want to really quickly read this rant since we're talking Colts from Indy Ben. Real quick on the text line. Happy kickoff day, guys. Not sure if you heard Jared and Caroline's awful take on the Titans' expectations to win the division, but it's ridiculous how dismissive they are of the Colts. Act like Indy's in Cleveland in terms of respectively as a franchise. He says, Indy unquestionably got better this offseason. Can't say the same for the Titans. And then he went on and on about lazy Homer radio. So Indy Ben is fired up. Look, I again think that you have it as a one-game race. That's my only surprise in this, is if anybody else competes in this division or if the Titans and Colts are separated by more than a game. I'm picking the Colts to win it at 11-6. So I guess I'm kind of in the group think with the Colts. But here's the thing. If you look at their schedule, for example, you know, they get the Steelers. Yep. They get to go to the Patriots, whereas the Titans are going to the Bills. The schedule does help them, and that's where I see the difference. Even
they play Minnesota instead of Green Bay.
Yeah, and one of their, you know, even like one of their road games gets to be going to the Giants. You know, so for the Titans, it's a good opener for them. But like that's one you'd be like cool with that one be a road game, right? Like go like that's a nice chance for a road win. So I think they end up a game better than the Titans. I actually was drifting toward flip flopping and going with the rest of Nashville media and picking the Titans before Landry got hurt. But I'm going to go with the Colts. I don't think Matt Ryan's going to be some amazing superstar this year. That I agree with you on your rant earlier. It's overblown, but he's got a great running back. I think Pierce and Campbell will give enough support to Pittman in the receiving core. The offensive line has gotten better, and I think their defense actually could be with Gilmore. I think that's probably the most impactful add between either team. So that's how I came about to the Colts. I do think that they're going to split, but that the schedule ends up benefiting the Colts.
Michelle Knezovic, Joe has picked the Colts to win the division. I've got the Titans. Where do you lie as the tiebreaker in the AFC South race here on the program?
Well, Robbie, I will be siding with you. I have picked the Titans to also win the AFC South. But I've picked the Titans to go 11-6. So Joe had the Colts 11-6. I picked the Titans to go 11-6. And I picked the Colts to go 8-9. I don't think they break 500. I know that's a little bit of a shock.
Andy
right
Ben,
there.
Gonna get mad at you.
But honestly, I mean, I get it. You have Matt Ryan. Who knows if he's going to be better than Carson Wentz? I honestly just have too many questions about the wide receiver group, about Matt Ryan. Yes, they have Jonathan Taylor. I think their O-line is fine. I think they'll be fine in the running game. But I have too many questions about the wide receivers, too many questions about Matt Ryan. I know they have an easier schedule, but really not high on the Colts this year. So I got the Titans to win, and I don't think the Colts will break 500.
Joe, the one thing that I found myself wrestling with last night that I'm still wrestling with to a certain degree when it comes to this race between the Titans and the Colts. Am I not giving enough credence to Harold Landry being out? Like, what sort of a difference is that going to make? There's no way to me it doesn't make some difference. I mean, you're talking about their best pass rusher and a guy that does so much more than just the sack total that we saw from a year ago. You know, John Glennon said it earlier in the show, and I agree to a certain extent. I guess if there's a position that if you're the Titans, you feel like you can recover from an injury from right now, maybe it is with the pass rushers at outside linebacker. We'll find out. But that's really my one hang-up right now. Like, I've made my thoughts on Matt Ryan clear. I believe it when I see it. I do wonder, am I not giving enough attention to Harold Landry being out, that I still have the Titans going 10-7?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely has to be factored in. And that's the thing about all of the, like, for example, the predictions of The Athletic, like, we did those before any of that was known. So recent developments aren't part of it. So this overwhelming picking of the Colts, that is with Landry presumed. I mean, there's some shows that are doing it this week, so then you factor that in, right? With him, I would have had a much tougher time here. Honestly, I think I might have gone the other way. As it stands, I'm now waiting to see across the entire Nashville media landscape, are you all a bunch of freaking homers except for me? This is my question. You may all be.
Ben from Cumberland City says, these picks are lazy at best. Should we pick the damn Texans to win the division? What are you talking about?
I mean, do the work to show us the non-lazy picks.
Fine. I've got Davis Mills and the Texans going 15-2. Does that make any sense?
Look at this. Someone else is like, no creativity on your all's choices, like the Titans offense. I mean, we could go just totally upside down world if you want.
I mean, if y'all want us to live in freaking fantasy land, I guess we can, but let's not be stupid on the text line, please.
Jags are winning.
That's my rule for the rest of the day.
I like it. I like the fire.
Well, I mean, look, if you think that there's another team in this race, more power to you. Like, I guess, are we not giving enough respect to the Jags this year in the AFC South? I mean, they were atrocious a year ago.
So
you think the Jags are competing with the Colts and the Titans this year, Joe?
No. So I'm gonna lean in on Ben from Cumberland City. He said Colts at 9-8. I'd love to see the breakdown. I mean, I went through their games and picked them 11-6, but you actually think like 9-8? I mean, I'm assuming that Ben's a Colts fan. Like, do you think
9-8 is like some disrespectful thing?
Or does he think the Colts are terrible and he thinks that, like, I don't know. Explain yourself, Ben from Cumberland. If you're going to send these texts, you better do some work to at least, like, write complete sentences so we understand where you're coming from, buddy. I mean,
you also lost, if you're a Colts fan, you lost to the Jags last year. Things can happen. It's the NFL. I don't think that's some crazy take out there. Yeah, they have an easy schedule, but at the end of the day, it's still the NFL, and it's not like Matt Ryan made your team some Super Bowl contender.
Okay, so Ben says justify it losses. Again, I picked them 11-6. Let's just assume they clean up the end of the division. They get four wins. Let's assume that. They have the Chiefs at home. They have two against the Titans. They go to the Broncos. They go to the Patriots. They go to the Raiders. They play the Eagles, who are, I think, pretty good. They go to the Cowboys. They go to the Vikings. They also have the Chargers. You telling me it's impossible to find eight wins on that schedule? Come on, man.
By the way, they haven't won in Jacksonville in 8 years.
Well, there's that, too. I'm just giving them that. I'm just going to give them four wins that they haven't been able to collect in years. But come on, Ben.
This Colts love is out of control. It's unbelievable to me. We'll continue our predictions. Take more of your thoughts, hopefully smarter than that one, on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also give our playoff teams and Super Bowl predictions coming up next as well. The Nashville Fair returns to the Nashville Fairgrounds, and this Sunday, 1025, 1063, the game will be there from 2 to 4 p.m. Midway rides, agriculture, arts, livestock competitions, fair food, including hot chicken on a stick and deep-fried goo-goo clusters, and more. Buy tickets early and save at nashfair.fun. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Don't miss the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5, 106.3, the game every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Live from 6th and Peabody, the Eddie George Show is brought to you by Low T Centers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are continuing our predictions, looking ahead to the NFL season. Lots of spiciness on the text line right now with the Titans and the Colts. This is going to be a very fun rivalry to keep track of all season long, Joe Rex Road.
Lots of fire out there. I'm glad we've gotten away from people complaining about my question to Ryan Tannehill. We've gotten into, again, I'm going to say this to Titans and Colts fans. You can believe in your team and you can predict whatever you want or whatever. But if you're yelling at someone either way on this, then I think you're off base. This is close. Can we all agree this is close? This idea that, oh, how could you possibly pick the fill in Titans or Colts? Come on, man. This is close. There's so many unknowns. There's so many things we don't know about both teams. We should know, looking at them on paper, that they're very close. They're actually very similar teams.
They are.
So, and I agree. Someone on the text line said Vrabel makes a difference. That could be. I mean, I think the Titans have the edge when it comes to coaching. But let me quote Mike Vrabel. It's players, not plays.
We'll see what happens on that front. So with that in mind, we've given our AFC South predictions. It's time for our playoff teams, both in the AFC and the NFC. Joe Rexro, would you like to begin?
Yeah, so you want me to just do one or the other or do both?
Let's start with AFC.
Okay, so I've already picked the Colts. I'm also going Bills to win the East, Ravens to win the North, Chargers to win the West, and then my three wild cards are Chiefs. I think that they're the team that emerges. I got Bengals getting in, and I got the Titans. And a key point here, and I made this on Jared versus Joe yesterday, you know, I think the wild card race, to me, I'm down on the Pats. We had Chad Graff. He didn't make me feel that much better about the Pats. But I think the Dolphins are a team to look for as a wild card contender. And certainly the Broncos and Raiders. The reason I give the Titans a wild card is they get the Broncos and Raiders at home. Those games are huge. Those, whether, you know, maybe the Titans win the division doesn't matter, but those games, they're both pretty early. One, well, Raiders is really early. Huge games. I like the fact that they have them both at home, and I think that makes the difference for them to get the final wild card spot.
Well, I think it's clear in the AFC this year there are going to be multiple pretty good teams that don't make the playoffs. Like, it's, yes, that's absolutely going to happen this year in the AFC. So I've got the Bills winning the East. My division winners are the same except for the Titans and Colts for you. I've got the Ravens winning the North, Chargers winning the West, the Titans winning the South. I've got the Bengals as a wild card team. I've got Kansas City as a wild card team as well. And begrudgingly, I have the Las Vegas Raiders as a wild card team as well. So my three wild cards, the Bengals, the Chiefs, and the Raiders. That means no Broncos, no Dolphins, no Colts in the playoffs for me either. Even though I think all those teams are going to be pretty good. But that's what happens when you have a loaded conference. They're going to be good teams that don't make the playoffs. Michelle, your AFC playoff teams.
Okay, we all know who I have winning the South, the team in Tennessee. Can't pronounce that right, so we'll just go to the next one. The North is the Ravens. I have touched on them a little bit earlier. East, Bills. For the West, I actually have the Chiefs emerging, winning the West. And then for my wild cards, I got the Bengals, Chargers, and Raiders. Don't have the Colts making it. Don't have the Broncos making it, the Dolphins. But, I mean, Robbie, you touched on it. Especially the West. Like, you look, take a look at the West. I could see any of those four teams getting in. It's, the AFC is stacked this year.
I could, to a certain degree, Joe, I think I could see any of those four teams winning the division. Now, I still have a little bit more of a believe it when I see it approach with Denver. I'm interested to see how that goes. But there are going to be four pretty solid teams.
Yeah. I don't remember who said it. I said it well. One of our guests was like, any of these teams could win it. Any of these teams could be last. You can't say that too often about a division in the NFL.
Now, one that could be maybe not more difficult, but is intriguing in the NFC is like trying to think of playoff quality teams. There's not a whole lot of them in the NFC. I'll start on this front. My playoff teams in the NFC are Tampa Bay winning the South. I've got the Rams winning the West again. The Packers winning the North, Cowboys winning the East. I've got the Niners, the Saints, and the Eagles as my wild card team. So Bucks, Rams, Packers, Cowboys, Niners, Saints, Eagles as my playoff teams in the NFC. Michelle, your NFC playoff teams.
Okay, starting with the South, I've got the Saints winning the South. North, I've got your Ooh. Packers, Robbie. East, I've got the Eagles winning over the Cowboys. West, I've got the 49ers. And then wild cards, I have the Rams, the Bucks, and then the Cardinals in there. So there ours were pretty like different, but some similar.
Joe Rex showed your NFC playoff teams.
So you are no Cowboys in your playoffs?
No. Nope.
Well,
sorry, America's team.
They'll have a new coach if that's the case.
That's quite all right, because I also do not have the Cowboys in my playoffs in the NFC. I think Tyron Smith is a huge loss. So I'm going division winners, Eagles, Packers, Saints, Rams. And then my wild card are 49ers, Bucks, and give me the Vikings as a wild card team.
Ooh, Viking Matt.
There we go.
There you go, Viking Matt. Skull, baby.
All right, we move to the anticipated point of the program. Michelle, we'll start with you. Give me your Super Bowl matchup and your Super Bowl winner as well, looking ahead to this season.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Drum roll. Out of the NFC, I have the 49ers emerging. Obviously, betting a lot on Trey Lance, but you also got Garoppolo in there, and maybe with both of them, they can, you know, emerge out of the NFC and then out of the AFC. I have the Ravens, and I have the Ravens winning it all this year.
Okay. So the Ravens as Super Bowl champions. Joe Rex rode your Super Bowl matchup and Super Bowl pick this year.
And that would be a rematch and a redo of what? How many years ago? 8 years ago? Yeah. Ravens, Niners, yes.
Hopefully the power stays on in this one.
Yes, it will not be Harbaugh versus Harbaugh. I'm going, well, you guys know who I'm picking to win it. But I'm also going with tonight as a Super Bowl preview. Did I just go Robo?
You did, but you're back.
God dang it. I just said the most brilliant piece of analysis, and I can never find it again. Bills over the Rams. Tonight is a preview of the Super Bowl.
Ooh, I like that. So the Rams getting back there. I like it. All right, my Super Bowl matchup, my NFL MVP this year, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be playing against the Baltimore Ravens in the Super Bowl. And I've got Tom Brady and the Bucs winning his 8th Super Bowl, and his final game will be this year as well. Tom Brady retires at the end of the season for real this time, and he goes out on top with his 8th Super Bowl. I've got Tampa Bay winning the whole thing.
Storybook.
Joe's disgusted.
Ain't happening.
I don't know how Joe can just say it can't happen, because, listen, it's Tom Brady. Joe, how do you even doubt what Robbie just said, even though it's so storybook?
I didn't say it can't happen. I just said it ain't happening. I don't like their O-line, man. I mean, that's really – and also
– I've seen Tom Brady work with less.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, I think age does matter. Also, like, the personal life stuff with him, not saying it's going to – go ahead.
No, I just said it was interesting, yeah.
I don't know. I think they're going to have a somewhat underwhelming year, but it would be storybook. It would be storybook for some.
You don't think Julio's having a big year down in Tampa this year?
Well, that's the thing. We keep talking about AJ Brown and the Eagles, but like, what if Julio also just goes and lights it up down there? What are Titans fans going to do then?
Look, I mean, if he does, all of a sudden you look at that receiving core and Godwin's back. Evans out there. You know, I like Gage. I think he's a good player. And Julio, pretty good receiving core that they got down there in Tampa.
Now it is. I mean, they're good. They, don't get me wrong. Losing their center, man. Oof, that's a big one. We'll see.
We'll take your reaction, 615-737-1025. Your predictions as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. More of that coming up next. As well, Joe Rexhode, you've got a message for us as we enter into the final segment coming up.
I do, folks. I want to talk to you about OrderGreen.com. This is something that's been really great for me in terms of helping me deal with stress, helping me deal with physical inflammation, anxiety. OrderGreen.com is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. You got high quality THC and CBD products all over the site, edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, anything you want. They've got it, and they know about their products really well. You can know you're receiving the highest of quality from reputable providers. They have a lot of knowledge to share with you. They've also got nationwide same day delivery to your doorstep. You can save 25% off every shipment of gummies if you subscribe. And if you use promo code Joe20, you get 20% off your first purchase.
Tune in to the college football game of the week on 102.5, 106.3. The game this Saturday as Kentucky takes on Florida at 6 o'clock. College football game of the week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode. Final segment of the day. Taking your reaction to our NFL predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Been an interesting show here today, and I'm looking forward to the NFL season getting started tonight. So you're buying in, Joe, that tonight's game between the Bills and the Rams, a Super Bowl preview coming up. I like it.
I feel like the Rams aren't – it's not quite the Bengals phenomenon, which is everyone questioning whether they're even going to be a playoff team this year after they made it Super Bowl. It's a little extreme. But I don't see many people picking the Rams to even get to the Super Bowl again. And I think they're still pretty freaking good. Now, look, Von Miller, Again, he's on the other sideline. Von Miller helped them last year without question. I think he'll help the Bills too. But I still like a lot of what goes on with that Rams defense. And this is very much based on what everybody's saying right now about Matthew Stafford. If he's the same Matthew Stafford as a year ago, which people still don't want to respect what he did, he was really freaking good. He wasn't perfect, but he was really freaking good. If he's going to not struggle with the elbow, they're going to be lethal. So, yeah, tonight, Super Bowl preview.
Ben on the text line says, Humphreys County, Ben here. Nobody repeats as a division winner except the Bills. Then it's Bills versus Minnesota in the Super Bowl, and Kirk Cousins finally gets it done. Is that spicy enough for Ben from Cumberland City? This is from Ben from Humphreys County on the text line. We got a lot of Bens on the text line.
There is a lot of Ben, spicy Ben coming out here. We don't have Uncle Ben's Rice yet, but we got all kinds of Ben or Ben Hur or, you know. But a lot of Ben action today, and that is a spicy pick right there, my friend.
Who you got tonight between the Bills and the Rams?
Bills. Of course they can't go 17-0 unless they go 1-0.
That is true. I got the Rams tonight at home winning the game. So I don't know. The Stafford thing's interesting. You know, came out the other day, had elbow surgery in the offseason. So we'll see how that holds up throughout the course of a year. But if you ask Sean McVay right now, I guess he's fine. So interested to see what that offense looks like tonight. But I'll go with the Rams in a close one tonight. This Kentucky Florida game coming up on Saturday, Joe. Going to be an intriguing one. We went through the college football slate of games coming up this weekend earlier in the show. It's not a great weekend out there, although locally it kind of is with Tennessee and Pittsburgh and Wake Forest and Vanderbilt and then Kentucky and Florida in the SEC as well. What do you think of that matchup between the Cats and the Gators coming up on Saturday?
Well, I did get a little intel. Sometimes, you know, Kyle Tucker will text me when we're talking about something, when we talk about Kentucky large often, and then I don't see it until after the segment. But one thing that he did mention is that Roman Harper on the SEC Network has called Kentucky soft. And this was apparently played on repeat in the Kentucky facility yesterday. Roman Harper on the SEC Network saying, calling them soft. Oh, yes. Stoops loves that disrespect. Also, Kyle has some analysis that, you know, it's bad timing because they got their best QB in years, great receiver group. Obviously, the running back group's a little issue, but it's their worst offensive line in a while. They just moved a guard to starting LT, and that's got to make you a little nervous, Michelle. It's still a trenches game, you know, and Florida, they've got some guys.
Listen, Roman Harper was also very high on Kentucky at SEC Media Day when I interviewed him, so now he's flip-flopping. And listen, Mark Stoops, you replay that video in the locker room over and over and over again and check on my mental health earlier on Saturday.
Look, I was really impressed with Florida. I was. Like, Florida played really well on Saturday against Utah. I do wonder, sometimes we see this happen in college football where you've got a game like that, especially in week one, and then everybody freaks out and overreacts, and then it looks a little bit more like you thought they'd look in week two. I'm interested to see. I don't know if I'm quite buying into Florida yet, as everybody seems to be, albeit Anthony Richardson seems like he could be an absolute stud back there, and sometimes that's really all it takes in college football is the quarterback. But it's a big test for Florida coming up this weekend.
Yeah, look, you're talking about a top 10 Florida team coming to Knoxville if they get this done at home, probably. That's always a huge game, always a big deal. I think that's something no Tennessee fan or very few Tennessee fans would have guessed in the offseason. You know, we've been talking about, this is the year to get Florida. Got to get them this year. Coming to your place, they're not very good. Transition, et cetera, et cetera. So I agree with you. Sometimes we overreact to week one. Week one can lie. But I thought I liked a lot of what I saw from Anthony Richardson last year, as he's kind of a part-timer. And I do like him a lot. That's going to be a terrific game. I really believe it. And we've had some good ones from, even though it's a lopsided series, Kentucky-Florida has been very good lately.
It has been, and I'm interested to see what happens on that front coming up on Saturday. Wake Forest and Vanderbilt. Joe, this one's intriguing to me because we talked about the line yesterday. It opened up at 6.5, moved to 7.5, and then when it was announced that Sam Hartman was playing for Wake Forest, it jumped up to 13.5, and now it's back down to 11.5. So the money's starting to come back in on Vanderbilt at home. I look at the matchup, like defensively, I think it's going to be a tough day for Vanderbilt. I think Wake Forest is going to put up a lot of points. I am intrigued by Vanderbilt's offense and how much they can hang in there in this game, because you have to like what you've seen offensively through the first two games. I know the quality of competition is about to step up, but I think Vandy's offense has a chance to score some points on Wake as well as they head into this game.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I think if Vanderbilt's going to win this or even be in this game in the fourth quarter, then I think it's because their offense has a great day. And I think they can. I think that they can move the ball and score points. You got to finish drives with touchdowns. And, you know, this is also kind of a program game. Wake Forest is a little bit ahead of what Vanderbilt hopes to become. It's, you know, it's a similar profile. It's a private school, really good academic school. Not the same neighborhood, the ACC and the SEC. That's where it's just harder for Vanderbilt. You know, in the ACC, you can play a bunch of like so-so programs and get some wins. A lot harder in the SEC, but it's the same kind of idea. And the creativity of Wake's offense is what I like so far from what I've seen from Vanderbilt's offense. I think you have to do that. You have to be different. And I think building around Mike Wright was the right move. I think that's clear right now. And I think we're going to have an exciting game Saturday.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see what Mike Wright can do in that game. Excited for Tennessee Pitt, obviously, as well. We've talked a lot about that game this week. We'll talk more about it tomorrow with Adam Sparks joining the show at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts from Tennessee's perspective as they head into the matchup against Pittsburgh. Obviously, TD Jaron Davenport joining us tomorrow as well, looking ahead to the Titans and Giants. So looking forward to that. The start of the NFL season is here. And the best place to practice your touchdown dance is on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is kicking off week one with a no-sweat bet for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a new customer or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if you don't win. Just log in and see for yourself. I like the Titans in week one against the Giants. I like the Packers against the Vikings as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up with promo code ROB to get started. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Either way, celebrate the return of football season with a no-sweat bet during week one. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. A max refund of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Joe Rexroad, as we wrap up, we've made it. The NFL season is finally here. Football officially back with both college and pros beginning tonight.
It is a beautiful thing. The first NFL game, and they gave us a good one, and that's exciting.
We are very much looking forward to it. We'll be back in the morning to recap the Bills and the Rams. Look ahead to a wild weekend of local football as well. That's going to do it for us today. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.